Quarters of the CIB, June 5th, 2025. Want a special thank you to our host, Mary Torgerson, here at this beautiful building, Tusharem, and town. And a special thank you to Commissioner Ralph Brown, Sevier County. We have started a friendly competition between counties of hosting our annual policy retreat, and I can see already the bars being raised further. And it's just such a pleasure to be here with you all and the opportunity to come and see some of the good work that we do and enjoy, you know, this beautiful part of the state. I want to we have a couple board members that aren't with us today. Commissioner Jack Lytle and Commissioner Greg Miles have been excused. They are attending an executive order signing ceremony at the White House tomorrow for the Uinta Railway project, which is a huge deal, and obviously the CIB is heavily invested in and supportive of, and so we're going to give them a pass as long as they send us a selfie with Trump is the deal. So you know, we'll excuse those gentlemen, and then I'll, you know, we'll start off with some introductions, and then we're going to turn the time over to Chairman Nagy Zanotti. We'll start over here with Commissioner Winfield.
Yeah, Commissioner Winfield, Grand County, I'm going to represent him, sir.
Commissioner Jerry Taylor from Ypsilanti, Garfield County Commissioner, representing Fife County AOG, sir.
Dean Baker, Mayor Dean Baker of Naples City, I represent Uinta County.
Martin Zanotti from Sunny St. George, representing UDOT Commission.
Justin Anderson, MPS Assistant Attorney General, assigned to the Community Impact Board.
Curtis Wells, I'm here representing rural Utah as the governor's appointee.
Ralph Brown, Sevier County Commissioner, representing Sevier County.
Hi all, Laura Hansen, representing the governor's Office of Planning and Budget.
Scott Bartholomew, San Pete County Commissioner, representing ORCIS.
Curtis Slaw, Deputy State Treasurer, representing the State Treasurer.
Thank you, Kurt. And with that, I'd like to turn the time over. Before I do, Chairman Nagy Zanotti, Chairman of the Utah Transportation Commission, has been with the CIB Board for, I believe, 8 years. Is that correct?
More than that, but who can?
And I want to, I want to acknowledge Chairman Zanotti, the what service and everything that you've brought to the CIB, during your term. You are, in my opinion, you know, a model public servant for Utah. You've been a pleasure to work with. You have approached this role, really as a team member and looking out for all the communities. And, you know, I think I speak for everyone, and I want to, you know, we'll give everyone an opportunity, but, just how big of an impact you've made on the state and rural Utah. And, I can't say enough about how you carry yourself and how prepared you are and just how professional and the standard that you've set. And, we do have a gift here for you from the CIB board. Thank you for your service. Thank you. We love you very much.
I'm sure that's real gold.
Bruce sang for us when he went on.
He
set the new standard, Nagy. So
interpretive dance.
Bruce got here. Bruce's job to sing. Sensing the weight of the moment, and knowing that my heart is breaking,
it's
gonna break soon, and my eyes gonna tear up.
Okay. This is Andre, right?
Yeah.
This is the last time you will see me, and I will look into your eyes, and I know I'm this. I have a hard time. I've been having a hard time for a long time since I got the news that government will not extend my appointment to serve more time here, to serve more time. Even though I offered to serve free of charge, but it still didn't accept it. So, I know that I'm going to miss things that I'm going to be saying, so I've decided to read my farewell address, if you don't mind. I have a lot to say, and I would like to make sure that every one of you know that I love each and every one of you. But this goes my story that how I ended up here. For the past 12 years, many of you have asked me how and why I ended up in Utah, or the United States, or even in CID. Before I give you my answer, I must first lift my heart in gratitude to my Heavenly Father, whose divine hands guided me step by step, struggle by struggle, towards my dreamland, USA, and to this beautiful, beloved state that I call home. Mark Twain once said, the two most important days in our lives on the day we are born and the day we find out why. I stand before you a living witness to his profound statement, because 50 years ago, I should have lived to see another sunrise. During my medical internship with military in my homeland of Iran, my life took a sharp and violent turn. I was an explosive accident. My car collided with an oil tanker. I was pronounced dead. My lifeless body was taken to the morgue, tagged, and kept for 3 days waiting to be identified. But that was not the end of my story. By a divine miracle and a chain of heavenly visions, God returned breath to my lungs and purpose to my life. I was not merely revived. I was reborn. And with that second chance came a sacred covenant to live a life of meaning, to walk in light, and to serve with love. But my path would not be easy. 2 years later, darkness came again, both to my homeland and to my personal life. On the day when the sky itself seemed to warn, Heavenly Father once again reached into my despair and provided a way. I fled my beloved home and here in Iran, and everything I knew and loved due to my involvement in the Iranian Revolution. And for 40 days and nights, I journeyed alone across the harsh, untamed expanse of Mount Ararat, stretched between Iran and Turkey, surviving on bitter grass, thorny shrubs, and not so delightful insects, sustained only by faith and divine mercy. And then, by God's grace, I was rescued again and brought to the land of my dreams, the United States of America, a land of liberty, of new beginning and hope. The land where I could be good and do good. A land where I could honor the covenant I made with my God when he gave me not just a second chance, but a new life. On that summer, like 50 years ago, beneath a sky cloaked in dark sorrow, as I whispered my farewells to my dear family, they wrapped me in their love, not with words, but with gifts that carry their hearts and hopes. Now I have to take my cross up so you can see exactly what they gave me. My sister, my radiant young sister, with eyes full of tears and faith, placed in my hand a compass not an ordinary tool for election, but a sacred guide for both my journey on earth and my path to the divine. One hand points to the North Star, a symbol of steadfastness and guidance from the heavens, and the other gently to east, toward Mecca, where my soul should turn in prayer every day. Her gift was more than metal and needle. It was a reminder that whenever I wandered, I would never be lost if I remembered who I was and where I belonged. My father, a man of quiet strength and deep devotion, offered me a prayer rod, woven with both threads and purpose. He spoke to me with a voice firm but tender. Begin and end your days in prayer, before the sun rises, as the light fades, and before you retire for the day. If you wish for heaven's grace, he said, kneel first in love and surrender. Even now his words echo in my spirit, like the call to prayer. From my kind and playful brother came a gift touched with both courage and care. A slate and a showcase, the kind he had seen in the hands of his heroes. It is bulletproof, he said with a grin, like the one James Bond carries. It'll keep you safe, he assured me. His gift, both practical and protective, reminded me that even as I ventured into the unknown, my family's shield of love would always be wrapped around me. But it was my beloved mother, the soul of our home, who gave me a treasure unlike any other, a golden medallion. Glow softly like her heart. One side bore the image of the Prophet Muhammad, the other of Jesus, the Son of God. She pressed it in my hand with a gentle smile and whispered, this is for when you may need the help the most. And just in case, one of them is too busy to hear your prayers. With this, you will never be alone, she chimed. In that moment, her gift became my sanctuary, her faith the bridge between worlds, and her love a prayer I carry still. As I reflect on the journey that brought me here, I am overwhelmed by the sense of pride and fulfillment that comes from having served this wonderful state and this wonderful people. For the past 4 years, I've had the distinct privilege of working alongside so many of you. Dedicated, passionate individuals, exceptional team member here in CIP, and countless others who have given their time, talent to make Utah a better, safer, and more vibrant place to live. Together, we have achieved extraordinary progress in transforming our beautiful communities. We have made our roads and sidewalks safer for family and every child. We have built hospitals and clinics that offer healing and hope. We have secured the lifeblood of our communities by drilling deeper wells and modernizing wastewater treatment facilities. We have stood up for public safety by constructing fire stations and equipped our first responders by constructing fire stations and life-saving trucks and ambulances. We have developed parks and community centers, not merely as physical spaces for recreation or gathering, but as places where connections are made, memories are made, and a true sense of belonging is formed. Our libraries stand ready as guardians of knowledge and windows to our past. Even our cemeteries hold a sacred role in this vision. They are not just places of remembrance, but sanctuaries for family history, where generations are honored, loved ones are remembered, and the stories of our ancestors can be discovered and passed on. Every step we have taken has been driven by a shared commitment to protect, uplift, and empower the places we call home. These efforts have been ensured Utah to remain a place where families can create lasting memories without the burden of infrastructure-related concerns. I have had the honor of seeing firsthand how each decision, each project, each collaboration, no matter how big or small, has a real and lasting impact on other people's lives, just like this beautiful building that we're here right now. And it's all thanks to the life, tireless work, and dedication of all of you in my CIB family. I cannot express enough how thankful I am for the relationships I have built over the years, whether it was working alongside the former and current chair, county commissioners, mayors, state officers, or with the ever-still wonderful CIB staff, who have always given their time, talent, and heart to making this estate a better place. I have been humbled by the passion and dedication you all bring to your work. Together, we have moved mountains, both literally and figuratively, overcoming challenges, breaking new grounds, and achieving goals that seem impossible. I must also take a moment to express my heartfelt gratitude to the most beautiful woman in my life, sitting at the back, my dear wife, Tweet. She has been an unwavering source of love, support, and encouragement every step of the way on this beautiful and incredible journey. Yesterday marked 32 years of our glorious marriage, a day we should have celebrated just between us. And yet here we are, choosing to share it with you, our dear friends. Happy anniversary, my love. Though my path took an unexpected turn, and it was painful to let go of my medical school credits and to dream of becoming a heart surgeon, I have come to embrace the beautiful destiny that awaited me instead. I was meant to heal hearts in the operating rooms. But life had other plans for me. Starting home was not easy. I was encouraged to pursue civil engineering, and what felt like a detour turned out to be a divine redirection. In my own quiet, perhaps even selfish way, I still hoped to heal a few hearts, and I pray that I've done so here in CIB. To each of you that I have had the privilege of serving alongside, thank you for welcoming me to your hearts and to your lives with your friendship, your trust, and your dedication. This journey has been nothing short of extraordinary. As civil engineers, we say, life is like wet cement. Whatever falls upon it leaves a lasting impression. You all have left one on mine, an everlasting one that I will cherish forever. My favorite Persian poem speaks to the very soul. I carried my heart in my hands, looking and searching for someone to give to. Alas, I have lost my heart, but I have found a friend for eternity. So, my dear friends, as I leave you, I do so for immense gratitude and deep affection. Until our paths cross again, walk with kindness, act with courage, and let the light of heaven guide every step for what we do in life echoes in eternity. I love you more than words can truly express. I entrust you to the steadfast of my dear friend and Savior, whose hands are both capable and compassionate. I know that he loves each and every one of you. And I also know that I'm still his favorite. As my last departing wish, I ask that you consider helping all 29 counties of the state, not just the chosen ones. Honor their uniqueness, steward their treasures, measure their desperate needs, and then let their stories be told among you. Please, please, spread your heart across all the states. May God bless you all. May God bless your loved ones. As come and still so diligently. And may God bless this nation so extraordinary. And this state we so proudly call home. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Chairman's nodding. Thank you. Before we get started, I want to just acknowledge staff and the great job, our traveling roadshow that follows us around all over to set up our meetings and keep us in line. And we thank you very much for the work that you've done to help put this meeting together. And certainly last but not least is I want to introduce Tricia Davis Winter, who's here with us. She's the new director over housing and community development. Some of you may know the CIB board is housed in and supported by the Department of Workforce Services and in Tricia's portfolio. And welcome, and we're so excited to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay, first up, we're going to start with our financial review. Under our briefing, Ms. Powers?
We have in your packet the new applications that were submitted for the next trimester. We're starting a new fiscal year, July, August, September, and October. Those are coming. They haven't been taken out of those. It's just how they were asked for. And so, I believe it's in the packet you could show, but, so that you on Zoom can see it. But we provide this to you at the beginning of each trimester so that you can see what's coming as you're dealing with what is here. Those are projects that have been submitted June 1st. And they're all been looked at on the CIB application list, and they're all eligible should you choose to fund them. And with that, we'll talk financial with Ms. Kaylee Beck.
Good morning.
I was meeting with Good News, Bad News, and this one's going to be the exact same. So we have enough money in the total to fund all the projects as are presented to you guys. But the problem is we don't have enough money in the right pots. So Mineral Lease Fund can only do, it can do grants and it can do 0% interest loans. The bonus funds can only do interest loans. And you have too many grants for a zero interest loan being presented to you guys today. You guys are going to need to make decisions to move some of that over. If you were to fund all of the projects the way that they're presented, you would need to choose to move something over to be an interest-bearing loan instead of the way it's presented as a grant or a zero interest-bearing. So if you were to fund everything today, you would have almost $6 million remaining for the next trimester that would carry over. into next trimester. The total projects that are requested of you today, including pending and the special consideration, is just under $33 million. And so we would be spending all of that. We have $4.6 million going into next trimester. I imagine next trimester would be similar to this trimester. And if you look at the sheet that Candice just barely mentioned, there's $51 million in ask. And I just wanted to mention that because, again, some of the decisions that you make trimester to trimester impact what's going to happen for the future. But with that said, you do have enough money if you so choose to fund everything, but you will need to do something as a consider as well. That is not already presented back with you.
Questions?
Okay, I'm going to be keeping a running total of when you project, and when you run out of what you need to do, I'll let you know.
Please do. Thank you. Okay, next up we have the approval of our minutes from our May 15th, 2025 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion made by Commissioner Taylor, seconded by Chairman Zanotti. Discussion on the minutes. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And thank you all. We apologize. We were running a little bit late. We had some things and projects to see, and we had a beautiful bus ride and tour on the way up here. So thank you for being patient for us. First up, we have item 4.1, Vernal City. We'd welcome representatives from Vernal City to join us up at the table. This request is for a $5,570,000. $3,899,000 in grant, $1,671,000 in loan, 30 years at half a point for water improvements on 3500 West Transmission Line and 100 North Water in Minnick County. Welcome.
Thank you.
You bet. Please introduce yourself.
My name's Eric Dilworth. I'm Vernal City's capital project manager. I've started there. It's almost been about 7 months now, so happy to be here, and thank you for this opportunity. So.
You bet. Now we've gotten brief presentations on the project when we set the the funding list. So unless you have something additional to share, about the project, we can jump right in with questions to the applicant or a motion.
I'll move to approve as requested.
Motion to approve as requested by Commissioner Bartholomew.
Well, as approved.
As approved, yes, because there was a change, a slight change.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
I will second.
Seconded by Ms. Hansen. Mm-hmm. Seeing none, I'll call for a roll call vote, please, Ms. Powers.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yeah.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotto?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously. Chairman abstaining.
Thank you. Thank you. Up next, we have the Uinta County Municipal Building Authority. That is applied for a $700,000 grant for a cemetery multi-use building. Would invite representatives from Uinta County Municipal Building Authority to join us.
I believe that they notified us that they would be attending virtually.
Okay, great. I'll open it up to questions to the applicant or a motion.
Motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Winfield. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, I'll call for a vote, please.
This is as the board advanced, and it needs an exemption. It's a $700,000 grant that's outside the pool range.
Hardship.
We will require an exemption. Hardship. Chairman Zanotti has amended his motion with a hardship, financial hardship exemption. You concur with that, Mr. Winfield? Yes.
So I know when we vote on them originally, we name an exemption. Are we being consistent with the exemption under which they were prioritized?
Well, you're motioning today is the new motion, but I don't know.
Well, it seems like when we approve it the first time.
It was special circumstances
before. It was special circumstance before. Mm-hmm. It seems like it would make sense that we're consistent in terms of our exemptions that we're granting.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
That we stay with the same exemption.
Yeah. We've got an amended motion for a special circumstance exemption to be applied to the project. And we'll call for a vote. Thank you.
Treasurer Slott?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Thank you. Up next, item 4.3 from the Brooklyn Special Service District. Applies for a $4,355,000 in grant for water improvements here in Sevier County. This is the project that we
looked at this morning.
And it's a really creative problem solving and kind of an exciting workforce affordable housing project. Really, really neat. I'll open it up to questions for the applicants or motion.
I would move that we fund it as approved.
Motion made.
And the exemption would be whatever it was exempted with.
Yes. So it's financial hardships, I think.
Hardship.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Motion to fund as approved with a financial hardship exemption, seconded by Treasurer Slaw, seconded by Commissioner Winfield. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, call for a vote, please.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Mr. Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with the chairman abstaining.
Thank you, Ms. Powers. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're excited to come back and see that as it develops. Yeah. Item 4.4, Hanna Water and Sewer Improvement District. It's approved for $668,000 grant for a district office and warehouse. Welcome. I'll open it up to questions for the applicant or a motion.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you. While I've got the attention here, I'll make a motion that we approve as or fund as approved with the exemption of financial hardship.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Hansen, seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew with financial hardship exemption. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, I'll call for the vote.
Treasurer Shaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Mr. Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Miles? Oh, Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
My motion passes unanimously with the chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much. Thank you. Item 4.5, application from Duchesne City, approved for $3,815,000, $2,670,000 grant, 1.145 in loan, 30 years at half a point for the water and sewer infrastructure in Area B, Blue Bench, D Hill. A welcome.
Oh. It should be on virtually.
Okay.
Yep.
No worries. Do we have any questions for the applicant? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve. I'll second that.
Motion to fund as approved, second by Commissioner Taylor, seconded by Mayor Baker. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, I'll call for a vote.
Thank you. Mr. Sloth?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Mr. Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously. That the chairman abstained.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for being here.
Item 4.6, Spring City, the applicant originally approved for a total of $1,128,323 with $676,323 in grant and a $452,000 loan, 30 years at a percent for the Spring City multipurpose building in San Pete County. Questions for the applicants?
Commonwealth?
Yes.
They have asked for reconsideration.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. I'll turn it over to the applicants. Please introduce yourselves.
Okay, yeah, happy to do that. I'm Chris Anderson, the mayor of Spring City. I'm here with Paul Penrod, a council member who works with the County Fire Department, and Chad is a fire chief. And just for a brief statement to start off, we want to express our appreciation to the board for the consideration given for our fire department expansion project. We certainly recognize the CIP's commitment to helping rural communities with critical infrastructure needs, and we're grateful for the opportunity to continue this dialogue. We would like to respectfully request that the board reconsider our funding package with the hope of being awarded full grant funding for this essential project. As a small rural municipality with limited financial capacity, taking on additional debt, even on at favorable terms, presents a significant strain on our already modest budget and restricts our ability to respond to other essential community needs. As you'll recall, when the project was considered, we had about $90,000 of equipment that was not eligible for funding. So we still have to provide that equipment. So that's, you know, about $90,000 that we have to go out and borrow at the rates to be able to complete this project. And in addition, you know, we have a couple of our largest sales tax revenue producers in the city that are looking to close down this year. So we're concerned about, you know, what kind of sales tax availability we might have to service the loan. The fire station expansion is not only just a matter of public safety, but also of regional importance. Our department serves a growing population, responds to calls in surrounding areas, and will soon house a newly awarded fire truck. And so this is an asset that we must have the capacity to protect and utilize effectively. So we respectfully submit this request in the spirit of partnership and with the understanding that CID's grant funding would enable Spring City to complete this project in a timely and fiscally responsible manner, ensuring the safety and well-being of our residents and those of our neighboring communities. And so we thank you for this consideration, and we're happy to answer questions either Chad or Paul can provide information.
Thank you. I'll open it up to discussion. Board?
Chairman?
Motion? Yes, Chairman Zanotti.
Just to consider, will you consider lower interest rate and still keep the loan going? Because we have had opportunities in the past to loan money to the buildings like yourself. But we would like to stay with the same norm, the same kind of opportunities, because we don't want to go back and tell other people that, hey, you got the worst deal of the century. Yeah. So would you be willing to stay with the same loan but the lower interest rate?
Yeah, I invite input. I guess we don't have an alternative funding source, right? And we need to this project. And so somehow we're going to have to figure out how to do it. Certainly, if we could have a lower interest rate, it would help. The magnitude of the loan is still difficult because we're undergoing a sewer project right now, a culinary water project. We've increased our utility rates in connection with that. And so our residents are I'm fully taxed, you know, right now. So it's difficult. I if we could lower the loans, definitely that would help. But if we could have, you know, a lower interest rate, that would also help. Because one way or another, we have to figure out how to do this.
A couple of comments on it. We originally asked for $1.128 million for the entire project. Subtracting out the equipment that wouldn't be qualified, that you guys would normally divide for other fire stations and the such, and bring it down to less than $1 million. You guys originally offered for us to have a grant of $676,000 with a loan of $452,000. What we're really asking for is to not have the loan, but to increase the grant $319,000 for a total of $995,000 on the grant itself. Like the mayor has explained, we don't have a tax revenue. We have a gas station and a restaurant, and the restaurant is looking to move. Other than that, we have no business income into the city. So that the fire truck that was mentioned that will be coming at the end of this year, beginning of next, is also part of the CIB's assistance for the San Pete County Fire District. That's where that fire truck is coming from. We can't afford it on our own, obviously. And so we want to be able to provide this building is the bigger building to be able to put that $650,000 fire truck inside of the building. So that's what we're asking. And that's clear enough.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I actually want to ask a question to staff. Was this loan funded from the bonus fund? So would this make our issue with not having enough interest bearing loan worse?
Yes.
This actually would worsen that issue if we don't assign an interest rate, right? Okay. That was my.
So you'd add 452 to the 1.8 deficit that you already had in the notes. So you have to, on the later projects, move a little bit more to an interest bearing system.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you said you guys are downsizing the ask from like 1.1
to
995, and that difference is being made up from where?
We would end up going out to the general market to be able to see if we can fund our basically $100,000 of equipment, the self-contained breathing apparatus, the compressor station, the turnout gear, cleaner extractor. You know, all that kind of stuff that
you're going to fund out at the Marcos like rate loan.
And so we're responsible for it. We're just saying that we could look to pick up some additional expenses so we can hit the project on that.
Did you say you're going to fund that with a market rate loan or
possibly? I don't know what else we can get.
Well, why would you go get a market rate loan when you can get it so much cheaper here?
I think
keep the interest rate that you have, because a market rate loan on something like that is going to be probably 6 or 7%.
Right, but the most of that is the equipment that is eligible for funding. That's why we got that separate burden. As we kind of looked at how we can deal with this, we thought, since that can't be funded through the CIB, we got that separate issue that we've got to come up with. And like you say, it's going to be a lot more expensive.
Okay, got it. Ms. Hanson?
I was just going to clarify that the reason for the market rate loan was the equipment wasn't eligible. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Commissioner Bartholomew?
So after our last meeting, I actually went up there and went through their facility there, and they have a great need for this building. There's no question about that. And the little cafe that they've talking about, it's a wonderful cafe. But it's only open from 8 to 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so, you know, there's not much revenue there. They just don't have the revenue, plain and simple. And so I'm willing to make the motion to change this to a $995,000 grant, on hardship.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Again, just for four vote, I do see opportunity in the remaining projects to make up that margin. And so,
I'm comfortable with it and think it's a good move. So with that, any other comments? Call for a vote, please.
We restate what we're voting on.
It's a
$995,000
in grant.
Okay.
995.
Yeah, 995. 995,000.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Inouye?
Aye.
Motion carries with the chairman of things.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Up next, item 4.7, the town of Scipio approves for $111,000 in grant. We'll welcome the representative from Scipio for a water meter upgrade. Welcome.
Thank you.
Questions? Motion?
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we fund as we approved at our last meeting, which is the same as requested. Financial hardship.
I'll second that. Sorry, seconded it.
Okay, we've got a motion to fund as approved by Ms. Hansen due to financial hardship, seconded by Commissioner Taylor. Call for a vote, please.
May I have a question?
Yes, sir.
Under your new meters, do you have opportunity to put the Eye on Water app? You'll be able to see how much water is getting used or getting wasted?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
For a $111,000 grant for the town of Scipio, Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion carries.
Thank you. Board, like a few minutes to get a snack, stretch your legs. Keep moving.
Keep rolling.
Keep moving.
Yeah, keep rolling. Up next, under item pending projects, we have the Uinta Special Service District number 1, was placed on the pending list for $15 million total, $5,000 in grant, $10,000 in loan, 30 years at 0%, for an athletic facility in Vernal City, Utah, in Uinta County. Welcome.
Thank you. So part of introduction, I'm Daryl Meyer. I'm the director of the
Mayor Chamber. Joel Brown, the assistant building board, and also on a personal note, my great granddaughter, Yushu Todd Brown, homesteaded here in Boucher. So
that's cool.
That's awesome.
It's a great building, too, by the way.
Is there a relationship? I mean, you're from here.
Most of my family comes from Wayne County. Back both sides. So. But I'm sure that if you go back far enough, there's a cousin in there somewhere.
Do the app, you know, the family tree app?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've always thought that Nami's pretty cool, but you survived 3 days in the morgue. That makes you easy. Okay, yes. Hopefully, this project's going to solve all of your problems. So the revised application, which Candace, I'm incredibly sorry that it just got to her yesterday, but she has told me that you guys have seen it. So our original request, of the $5 million loan and the $5 million grant, the $10 million loan at a 0% interest rate, which I understand now comes out of a different fund, and the revised application. So after our questions and answers and the request to stay to reduce scope and all of those things, we started with a reduced scope and we reduced it 24%. So then I reduced the applicant ask so by 24%. So that is a $3.8 million grant, a 7.6 loan at 1% for 15 years. So I can talk more, but those are kind of the things that we talked about.
Thank you.
Doing. So not only was there a reduce in funding, but that $10 million original that was in the other fund down to 7.6 amount of your other fund.
With that, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Chairman Zanotti.
Second.
Brief comment on this real quick before I turn it over. This one's a tough one for me for several reasons. Certainly supportive of the, you know, the project, and the basin is, you know, our primary contributor to the fund. The issue that I have that I want to discuss with the board is just kind of getting back to priorities, bread and butter. And we have, you know, for the first trimester of fiscal year 2026, we have over, it looks like, close to, you know, 15 to 20 million in applications for kind of the central projects in the basin. We're looking at, with, you know, recent news in OPEC and the market, potentially decline in revenue back down to a pretty significant decline. So I'm concerned by getting off track with our priorities, you know, and that's something I've tried to be insistent on is we've got to take care of the essential infrastructure, you know, first. And we have a full list of essential infrastructure needs, you know, coming from the basin itself. Not to, you know, misspeak, but, you know, the support for the project in terms of the position of the UNA County and in discussions with representatives there, there's everyone's kind of agnostic. There's no one really championing the project from the basin. Everyone's just kind of, hey, let's move it forward and wait and see what happens. I can totally understand that, but I hate to run funds dry for essential services and essential infrastructure, you know, for the communities and the depletion that this would cause. So this one gives me some heartburn. I'm supportive of the project, but, you know, it feels like we're getting off track, and just being mindful of our revenue source and our responsibility to manage the fund. You know, this seems like we're getting out over our skis with this, is my opinion on it. But I'll turn it over to comments and from the board. Ms. Hanson.
Thanks, Chairman Wells. I'm a community planner. I'm an urban planner. I understand how important it is to have community gathering places and places to come together. And I know this would be a really great amenity and addition to the community. I similarly worry a little bit about, you know, when you look at the list of really essential needs that are coming up, that it makes me a little bit anxious. So I would suggest, but I do think it's a great project. I think it would be really important for the community. I would suggest a friendly amendment or a substitute motion, just in the interest of getting us a little bit more funding revolving so that we can take care of more of the essential needs, and many of which fall in the basin. So I would make a substitute motion that we would do the $3,800,000 grant, $7,600,000 loan for 15 years, but at a 2.5% interest rate, just so that we have a little bit more money revolving so that we can take care of more essential projects coming up.
Is there a second for that motion?
Question on there, Chairman, and I represent you at a county. With us providing the amount of money that we do, we in the pool, 1% is what we came to in the max for us to help us stay funded.
I don't think that's
what it isn't.
The tool incorporates that you're a producing county and therefore gives you more favorable terms, but it doesn't set a cap on interest rate.
It doesn't cap it, but it's in there that 1% is what we've kind of been going by.
I don't think that's how it works.
2.5 or 4.
I think the median said 2.5.
Yeah, 2.5 or 4 even.
No, and I don't know.
I think
did talk one time when we got with going through the tool and doing that with. We were at 1%.
It weights you higher and gives you better terms overall because you're a producing county, but it doesn't set a percentage rate. To my
other factors understand. Go into it, not the least of which is kind of the essential the project is, right? And so I would echo Chairman Wells' sentiments in terms of concern that, you know, funding recreational facilities is a little bit outside the scope. I know we've done that in the past. We've funded a swimming pool. We've funded lots of things. And you know how I feel about that. I feel like, and let me just add to Chairman Wells. So my understanding is we expect to see revenues next quarter similar to this trimester, right? Is that the expectation?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I heard in the funding meeting. Now this, we funded, what, 20 something million? And now we have 50 million of applications or requests in the next trimester, many of which come from Uinta County, many of which are, I would consider more essential. And so that's why it concerns me that we put this ahead of some of those essential projects that are coming down the pipe, knowing that, you know,
yeah,
the revenue, are you saying there's forecasts for declining,
yeah,
declining oil prices and stuff that would maybe make it a little more concerning? And once we get the rail project going and we start producing more, then, you know, all of this stuff opens up a lot more. But, anyway, I have similar concerns about throwing this ahead. And then my other concern is, I know Bernal has a fairly new rec center that was constructed like 100 years ago, right? Oh, was it that long? Okay.
Yeah.
It's new from my perspective. It wasn't there when I lived there, but it's 17 years. So this would be in addition to that,
yeah,
that rec center. This would be a second rec center.
To it. Originally when that facility was built, this was proposed as it 17 years ago. It's been on the master plan of the county and of rec district for 20 years.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize it had been that long. But.
Yeah, I feel like when these kind of projects come to us and they do, you know, my personal belief is everyone's got to be holding hands in unison and support. This project didn't come forward that way. It came forward as kind of a, let's put it out there and see what happens. And, you know, just going through the projects that are on the list, like for the basin for the next, you know, trimester, they're, you know, water treatment, fire station, EMS building remodel, well and distribution improvements, engineering for a pumping plant to the tune of $4 million, well replacement. Those are the kind, we're so behind in rural Utah on infrastructure, we can't afford to willy-nilly fund the large amenities and leave the essential needs at the wayside. It's if we can't manage, we just can't manage the fund that way. We put ourselves in bind. And so, what's that?
May I speak to the cohesiveness, I guess, of the support of this project? As a district, this has been, you know, we're a completely separate entity, not with the county, but we do have a county commissioner that sits on our board. But for the last about 7-8 months, this project has been going to our board meetings with great support from our board members, approval from the county commissioner, and Commissioner Norton was at the first presentation. There's other things going on with the districts that are, I think, shadowing the positiveness of this. It really is supported in our county from a lot of the leaders. And so I just, and I know in my first presentation, we talked a lot about the essential services and you get it. And truly, this is coming from the essential service of mental health and stability in the basin. So if we really, again, I don't want to say that, I don't want you to feel that there is not support for this. It is really supported. And three members of the board after the last meeting really got together And with the contractor and the engineers, Jill's one of those community center committee members that's on board, and really work to reduce this to get what you asked. And we're prepared, and we get the higher interest rate, and that gives you more security in the future and loyalty of that.
What's our record of the support that we discussed in either you and the county commission, the special service district meeting?
The AOG review on it was neutral.
The AOG review on it was neutral. And so the CIB board has to function through the approval and the priority of these through the AOGs at a regional level. It's the way we work. If the AOG is going to sit neutral on this, I mean, frankly, I think the neutrality comes from the same concern, that it's a huge ask at a time when we have so many other needs. And I acknowledge the value of the basin very much in this fund and what it does for rural Utah. I work that way as I approach the CIB board. But this, just from a planning perspective, looking at the fund balance and everything, it just frankly, it doesn't fit. And that's just where I'm at on it. Yes.
I wonder if there was $20 million that Uinta County was asking for, where would this fit in their priority as far as Uinta County goes? Would this be at the top of their list, or would some of these other projects be at the top of their list? What would be most important?
So we're a separate entity. So Uinta County, and when you're talking about Uinta County projects, they can come from Naples City, Uinta County, MBA, Vernal City, any of the fire district, the health district, the special service district, the transportation district. So as far as this is USSD 1, the special service district's number one priority. But to say that the $800,000 cemetery building for Uinta County is their number one. Our building might not be Uinta County MBA's number one.
You're a political subdivision, and we understand how that functions, but that's why it's critical that we get quality input from the AOGs, because they manage the priorities at a regional level. And that's when I'm, speaking with the concern,
And Bob, you can talk to Commissioner Miles, and I did in 2016 after that meeting, and he explained to me, he was like, I support the project, but just coming from, a situation, he said, normally those meet the neutrality. So that's what he explained it to me.
Yeah. And if there was ever a region where funding amenity is appropriate, it's the basin, because of your contribution and frankly the impacts to your community, subsequent to your production. But we just have we've got a larger scope and a job to do, and we've got a mandate to serve these communities. Yes, sir.
Chairman, and I appreciate your comment there. But I kind of go back when we went to the 1% for the funding mostly. Doesn't mean we can't take 2, 2.5 or whatever, but Uinta County produces the most money of any county.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it goes to these other entities that are in need. And we realize that we're not selfish. We're just saying that we do produce, and federal statute is that it should go back to the areas impact of some mineral extraction. So we're not trying, we're willing to give up and do it, but we feel like, and that was one of the push that's been there for a while, that Uinta County should get 0 or at most a 1% interest. And that's why I'm making that push. Not to do it, because I'm not necessarily saying this project's the best, we've got to do it, but I'm saying for Uinta County, if I represent Uinta County, we're trying to say, we give a lot of money that we never will see back. We don't care. We're willing in doing that, but we also feel like that we need to be looked at and say, okay, we can take a 1%, we can do on these other critical things that we have in Uinta County. We have a lot of critical in it. need to be funded.
And we, Mayor Baker, I respect that, but we do fund proportionate to where the production comes from too. I mean, Uinta Basin as a region is our top producer, but the funds are being awarded back to them in a proportionate manner. So I don't think it's accurate to just say the basin subsidizing everybody at their expense, because they're being awarded back those funds proportionate to their production. I'm just looking at a list of, again, 15 to 20 million in essential projects that are clearly a higher priority than this from the community itself. I understand not from the special service district. I'm trying to look out for the community as well. And,
are those coming from just Uinta County?
No, this is, Uinta County, Duchesne.
There's a water conservancy that's that.
Gadget. There's several more from, Uinta County, to the tune of, planning. Yeah, there's a lot. And I think we're good to the basin. Let's be honest. This is a big ass. You know, I know I'm being the bad guy here. This is a big ass, and it comes at the expense of a lot of essential infrastructure. Yes.
Where does this fit on their AOG priority list?
Oh, the CID application list? It's attached in your grant list.
It should be number one, and it's been on there for...
From their AOG, this is their number one priority.
It's only countywide. The AOG does not rate on the CID application list. They don't prioritize. The county does. The county and the applicant. So
the county prioritized it as one?
Yeah.
So ahead of all these other...
Well, it was for the fiscal year 25 CID application.
We do have a substitute motion on the table to make that adjustment to the rate. We should probably get to that.
Can I make a comment, and then I might have a sub to the sub? But here's my perspective on it. You know, if we could get to the end of a trimester and have an extra, whatever, 15 million that they're asking for, I know it's a little less than that now, I would feel better about funding something like this. But just knowing what's coming up, I don't want to have to short essential projects that we've seen. Some of these essential projects that come through, they're essential. Like, it's like the town is not going to live if we don't fund those. And so, you know, and I also want to say something also to support you in a county, which is, no, they don't get their proportional amount because they fund like 75 or 80%. So if you look at the rainbow sheet, you know, every other, you know, most other areas get way over their contribution to CIB, and Uinta County is one of the few that gets way under, right? And so there is some shifting of revenue that comes out of Uinta County to other counties, and I'm fully aware of that. And I think that's an important consideration. And so I'm not saying like if this was coming from another county, I don't know that we would even want to consider it. But the fact that it's Uinta County, like I can understand the ask, but my sub to the sub would be that we leave it on the pending list one more trimester.
Yeah.
Hold on to that thought.
Okay. Go ahead.
Before coming to this meeting and regarding the specific applications, I talked to my colleague in UDOT, Evan Mantassel, who lives in Vernal, who's in direct communication with the city and the community. He has a great hands in all what's happening, including the production. We always talk to one another that what is going on with the history of the Uinta, what they're going to do, how they're going to do, specifically from this digital review. He says that he's actually going to triple according to whatever he has got, the documentation from the sources, within the next 3 years. So the barrels of whatever they're producing is going to go high up to the 66%. So that revenue belongs to this community, the district, Uinta County, and all this entities, the communities they live there. So we need to also consider that money will come, and they deserve part of that money. They get it.
That's what he did. That's
and he also said, and I asked why they need to have this facilities, because we had a beautiful facilities here than 17 years ago. Yes, it's old, but he said that we need to keep our children in our communities and get some opportunities for them to stay healthy. His last comment was, healthy mind resides in the healthy body. And Uinta doesn't have that much to offer to the young and youth.
Thank you. Well, we really need to get second, but or let a failure go second before we continue on. Is there a second to the motion?
It was my substitute, which was the reduced ask, 15 years at a 2.5% interest rate to get, instead of 1% to get money revolving so that we could help pay for some of these other more essential things.
The higher rate.
Yeah.
Okay. And the tool proposed which rate?
The tool, that's the median on the rate from the tool.
It's 2.5.
Yes. Okay. Which I would say we spent a lot of time on the tool to account for which counties are producing counties. So I very much appreciate your comments, but I feel like the tool did that work for us. So we don't have to have this conversation every time.
I'm just saying, let me jump in on there, because we funded a lot of these little projects.
We know.
Interest or 1% or whatever. Yes, Uinta County produces, and we really don't ask for it back. What we produce, we could start coming in for a lot more projects to fill up and keep it all in Uinta County. Then these other little areas wouldn't have. I'm just saying we're more than generous to give, but we also feel like we should be treated a little, saying, hey, yeah, you guys are producing. It's gonna, just what Nagy said, when this rail comes in, and that was a fight to get it, we really had to fight to get that $20 million to see if we could do it. But I feel like it's not infirm in there that it can't go up to the 2.5, but historically we've been, Uinta County's been at lower just so that we can, and we're willing to take on loans. We're not saying we're not that, but 1%, we have the other entities that come in that need the 1% or a zero loan. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're still willing to pay. But I just feel like I just feel like it should be at 1%.
I understand, and I respect that. And I, you know, with oil, you know, dipping below $60 a barrel here soon, like, I don't completely concur with your pricing forecast, Chairman Zanotti, but that's speculating. I'm just trying to make sure we're being responsible to weather through, you know, the tough times. And, but let's see if we can get something worked out here.
I would like to second Ms. Hansen's motion with some comments, if I could.
You bet.
I appreciate your comments, and I appreciate the job you had of trying to keep us reined in on track. I certainly would never want the position that you're in. So for the one I do have, but I go back to what Mr. Donati said also, and the fact for what we're doing this for the children there, that's a portion of why I support this project.
Yeah.
And the other portion is because they are a great producer, which then allows us to help Spring City, I believe it was, and some of these other people.
Yeah.
And so to spread that love out, and whether it's love or money, it still is helping those other communities. And that's why I am supportive of it and like to second.
Thank you. Yeah. We have a second to the substitute motion, which is to increase the interest rate to the 2.5% recommended median. Further discussion on that. Now, if this motion fails, remember, we'll go back to the original motion to fund as originally requested. So I'll call for a vote on the substitute motion, which again is the amendment is that to the original request is that it increase the interest rate on the loan to 2.5% from the 0% we're currently at.
Who was, just before we go, who was the second on the first motion?
Oh.
Couldn't tell you.
I can't remember. I didn't hear it.
Okay. I think it was Nagy and Mayor Baker. Oh, no? Or was it Sherry?
Second is, yeah. I second the motion for the 1%.
1%.
So the motion will.
So now they change the scope and they change the interest rate to 1%, not the 0%. So
yeah,
we're at
1%. That's right. Okay. This is on the substitute motion. 3,800,000 grant, 7,600,000 loan, 15 years at 2.5%. Nadu.
This is the second.
You're going first.
Substitute motion. First.
Substitute motion. Did you say aye?
Nay. No.
Commissioner Winfield.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Taylor.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
No.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
So which one is this?
This is 2.5% interest rate.
So a question, if I could. If these fail.
We go back to the original.
We go back.
Yeah, we'll go back to
it. I'm a little concerned here, and I realize this is probably in the place, but I'm a little concerned with what the chairman's been saying and stuff. You've got two of the board that is not here that ought to be in on this discussion.
Yes.
I feel like myself that this needs to be delayed and some more thoughtful discussion on this.
Yeah. The conversation I had with the board members a couple of days ago in reviewing this was candid. You know, the conversation we're having here was if there's a way to make up some margin for our gap, they saw an opportunity to do that. We didn't get into interest rates and whatnot, but it wasn't fund this as is got to happen. But I don't want to speak for them. If we want to table it for them to join, by all means, but we've got an opportunity, you know, to move forward with it now. This is with a higher interest rate. But
my concern is still, you know, you're speculating on the production increasing. All these things are all speculation or going down. You've got these projects that are essential coming up. The reason I'm going into this so deep is, if you recall sitting in St. George, I voted against a swimming pool. And because of that, it failed. And I caught a lot of grief on that to the point where my head was on the chopping block. And it was asked to be removed from the board. And I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. But I truly, honestly felt like that it wasn't a necessary project at that time versus the ones that were before us. And I would hate to see us run short of money on these essential projects. For something, it's a good project, but maybe not as essential as these, is what I'm saying.
Well, we gotta finish
it. And so I don't really know how to vote on this, because if I vote no.
Abstain.
If I vote no, then.
But he has a good idea. There will be two more members of the commission on the board.
I guess I'm going to have to vote no.
Yeah. Thank you.
Ms. Anderson.
I'll vote yes on my substitute.
Treasurer Slaw.
I'm going to vote yes.
That
even though I would, yes, even though I would caveat what Scott's saying, a 2.5% interest rate still doesn't solve the cash flow problem. It's not necessarily getting enough back to CID. We know that Uinta County contributes a lot to CID, even without an interest rate.
Yeah.
To me, it's a cash flow problem, right? Because we're trying to cash flow the most essential projects. Just getting a higher interest rate doesn't necessarily help us with that issue. And that's my most concern, but But, you know, I also understand it's Uinta County, and we appreciate, you know, how much Uinta County does contribute. I'm banking on the fact that we do get more revenues coming in when the rail's complete, like everybody thinks it will. And, you know, so maybe getting going on the recreational facilities and having, you know, things for all of the new workers that are going to have to come in to make that happen might be really important. So I guess I understand that. And so that's why I voted yes. So.
And there is that $4 million deduction from the ask.
And my question on that is that a reduction in scope on the project, or was that the other funding sources that are making it? Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, once you get the rail in and triple production, I'm sure there'll be tons of money to expand the recreational facilities. Yes. All right. Well, thank you.
Does anyone know the result?
Yeah.
Yeah. The board members are like, well, through this voting process, we're hearing that they're interested in kind of tabling this for the other members, you know, to join us, you know, before we make a final decision. And, we're kind of in a tweener here.
I think technically the motion carried, but
yeah, it did.
Give us a
motion carried with 5-3. And the chairman abstaining, 2 absent.
Just to be fair, for those 2 commissioners, so if they had any to say so on this motion, I don't know.
I know one
more. Yeah. I
spoke to them. I mean, I know you have too, and probably more regularly.
Yeah. When they indicated that they were comfortable with us making some adjustments to this, I mean, that's really, a big part of my assertiveness, frankly, is, hey, like, I'm not trying to beat you guys up, obviously. It's just it's a tricky situation.
I talked to Greg Christopher Miles about the reduction and what it, and just to get his thought.
Yeah. So the motion carried at 2.5%.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Just a point of note, if those 2 voted against the substitute, it would be a tie vote, correct? So this falls it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. The, let's talk about the 2.5%.
That again.
Once you've taken the vote, I believe that it is there.
Yeah, we're there now. I think probably what we need to do is just have some follow up conversation about next steps, you know, in terms of how we want to handle this post approval. If that's going to work for them, if that's not going to work for them. But we've had a vote, and it's been approved at 2.5%. Thank you.
If you'd like me to join the call with Mr. Miles.
I think we should. Yeah, I don't, you know, I love you guys, and I've tried to be as supportive. I mean, I haven't been as supportive. It's a tough job, you know.
And then let them get the signature on the paper, and then we'll
talk about it. Okay.
Sounds good. Can I make one more comment?
Sure.
I think one of the challenges of our conversation here was understanding what is the true top priority for a region or for a particular county. And as I'm looking in the documents here and the CIB priority list, right, there's every single individual community or applicant has the ability to say, oh, this is my number one, and a different applicant, even in the same region, said, this is my number one. So we end up with 5 number ones.
Yeah.
And I think it would behoove the board and the regions to do a little bit more hard work within each region to say, what is truly our top priority? And looking at, you know, okay, we have multiple applicants. We recognize they're all individual entities and organizations. And then each of those will have their top priority. But maybe we encourage the regions and the AOGs to facilitate more of a conversation that really says, okay, this is the thing that is our most important project. And this one we really want, and we know it's the top for this one, you know, particular entity. But
yeah,
I think that might be helpful.
The commissioners should have to make that decision, not necessarily the AOGs.
Yeah, maybe it's the county commissioners. Like,
but we do.
Okay.
We submit those lists. We go through them, and we submit those to the AOGs.
But I'm looking at this right here, and it says county priority, and there's
They'll get submitted to the county commissioners and approved.
Okay. And but there's a whole bunch of number ones.
But I see, yeah, like.
So you can't, so that's what
three
I'm
number saying. Ones
you should,
from you
should only
county.
Be able to get one number one.
No, so
when they get thank you. We'll keep talking. Well, we got a little sharp elbow there. Okay, get along all the time.
Huh? Well, how come they have a bunch of number ones on there then?
that's what I'm confused by. Yeah, I mean, there
you shouldn't be able to have more than one number.
Like one is you went to fire, one assisting.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's take 10.
Well, that's not prioritizing.
Diet Coke. Jerry's starting to change. Okay, call the meeting back to order at 11:20 a.m. We have Wagyu cheeseburgers on the way, and I've been advised that if we get too far behind and they get cold, that will be a bad thing, and I concur. So up next, under supplemental funding and change of scope, item 7.1, we have Daggett County. The request of the scope was to include x-ray equipment. We funded this project June 6th of last year at a total of $7,233,000, $1,447,000 in loan for 30 years at a half a point, and a $5.786 million grant for a community health center. Welcome, representatives from Daggett County. If you'd like to just update us on the scope amendment, and we'll get into it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So I'm Commissioner Pat Pivitz. I'm the Sheriff of Daggett County Commission. Then with Bart Jensen from Jonesville and Jesse Platt, who is our county assessor and the project manager for this project.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. We appreciate the funding that was approved previously, as mentioned. This is a very important project for the county, and we are very grateful for the support that we receive. So we're here today just to give you a little bit of background. We've tried to be very diligent with the funds that have been allocated to the project. And through that diligence, we've come in right at the budget that we need to be at. That's been just a joint effort through our engineers, our architects, and working diligently to use those funds properly. We assumed that the X-ray equipment was infrastructure in the building, just like the elevator is infrastructure or a backup generator is infrastructure. Through the bonding meeting that we had previously, there was some question as to whether the board would consider the X-ray equipment as equipment or infrastructure. Just to give you a little bit of background, the X-ray machine is designed with shields that are very specific to the machine. And so that's part of the reason that we figured that it was infrastructure and not equipment.
And they go within the floor and the walls to like all adjacent areas. So it's part of the
all built in, yeah. Part of the building, just like an elevator shaft would be. So that's why we're here today, is to get clarification, or a change of scope, in addition to the scope of work, if possible, for your consideration today. We're not asking for more money. We're going to be able to complete the project with the money that's been allocated, so we're not asking for additional funds, and asking for that consideration today.
Yeah. Thank you, Bert.
Person?
Yes, sir.
So what's expected useful life on the X-ray machine? How long do you expect to, or how long is it expected to be in use?
That's a great question. If you know the answer to that part, I don't know what the expected lifespan of the machine is, but I know that the one that's up there is in the old clinic right now is 20 plus years old. So it's something that's going to be there for some time. So.
Okay. Because I think the issue is you've got a 30-year loan on this, and I'm not sure you want to be paying for something that's going to come out of service in 10 years for 30 years, right? So.
Well, I think that there's some wisdom to that as well. I think that's true, but there's going to be maintenance, right? There's going to be things that you will have to do prior to the 30 years. So, I appreciate that perspective.
Well, I think that's why CID doesn't normally fund equipment as part of our loan, right? Because we're funding longer life infrastructure, and equipment typically has a shorter life.
Sure.
And, you know, and so you don't want to be funding, you know, short-term equipment with long-term loans. That's just not good financial practice.
So our plan for those types of items would be to have a capital improvement fund that would be built and maintained to replace the items in the event that, well, they're all going to need to be replaced at some point. But we'll work diligently to build that fund for all the appropriate items.
Ms. Sanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just to clarify, so the main question is the X-ray machine equipment or is it infrastructure? Because our rules do not allow us to fund equipment. Where is that rule? Is that just our policy? Is that in statute? Do we have the ability to change that?
Yeah. I mean, just real quick before I turn over to Ms. Powers, like when we're dealing with some of these, I mean, from a conventional construction practice, when you're dealing with finishes or, you know, anything that's, you know, fastened permanently, it kind of gets gray between, you know, just equipment and a component of the facility is my perspective on it. But I don't, do you want to reference policy?
It's not rule. It's policy because anything that's not attached to a building is considered a walk away. We don't fund the TVs that they would install for the building. We don't fund the parts and pieces. That's why we didn't fund the short-term turnout gear. We don't do that. The board has chosen not to do that. This is a big piece of equipment, but it was also not in the scope of work that the board approved. If something is not in the scope when the board approves it, it's not included. And we can't add something to the scope.
Yeah.
A step.
It's just housekeeping, it seems to me.
Yeah. And it sounds like this is essentially built into the building. It's not just like putting a table in a room or something.
Building like an air conditioning.
Okay.
So again, our contention would be primarily that it is perhaps in the gray area. That's why we're here to discuss it, but leaning towards infrastructure versus leaning towards city.
Yeah, I agree.
How much money are we talking?
The X-ray machine installed is $95,000. The shielding and transformer and electrical are $45,000 and $15,000 for a total of $155,000.
But they're not asking for more money.
They're not asking
for this, and I wanted to know.
Yeah,
they can't spend it there. Did they give that back to the? Does it come back to CIB? Because they originally that would be part of, correct? We did assume that it was part of that scope.
Yeah. $1.5 million of it's coming back with interest.
Chairman,
yes, sir.
I think we entertain a motion that we go in and let's change the scope to add the X-ray machine and that equipment. It becomes part of, can't have a medical center without having an X-ray be able to do. So I'd make that motion.
I'll second. Sorry.
Motion made, seconded. Further discussion on it?
Have you got your commissioner's approval and blessings to mention the item?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Okay, call for a vote, please.
This is to approve the addition in the scope of work of the X-ray machine as noted. Chairman Zanotti?
Yeah, aye.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
That motion passes. Y'all have that to be filled.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Point of order?
Yes, ma'am.
When CIB authorizes funding in grant and loan, they spend the loan first. The remaining funding is grant funding, and if they don't spend it all, it is recaptured into the minerals.
Thank you for that clarification. Up next, item 7.2, the Town of Manila. Welcome. This is a supplemental request for $275,000. $154,000 in grant and $121,000 in a loan at 1.5% for water system improvements in Daggett County. The original funding was for $220,000 in the loan and $280,000 in grant for a total of $500,000. So this is an additional $275,000 total, correct?
Yes, sir.
Being requested. Okay. Welcome. Thank you. Please, if you wouldn't mind, just elaborating on the nature of the supplemental funding request.
I'm Mayor Kathy Knight, Mayor for the Town of Manila. I sent some photos to Heather as to what we've been dealing with on these wells. It was an investigation that we did on them. Can we get those any bigger?
I'm trying.
Okay. If not, I've got handouts here of them. We had no idea when we called them to come and investigate our wells, what it was we were looking at, until we got the Whittison well services inside of them. When we got inside of them, this particular one, this first one that I, this is where there's a leak, and the leak keeps the corrosion going around the well. This first page that Aaron is handing out to you, that is where somewhere back in history, and I have no idea where, but the way that they fixed the leak was to wrap it in duct tape. Now,
it should have used grill up.
That fixes it.
As well.
Does that work for everything else?
Yes. But it didn't work for our well. And so, the last 3 weeks, I can comfortably say that I probably haven't gotten more than a couple of hours of sleep a night because we've been working on wet weather. Last week, I made 2 trips over to Tri-County to make certain that we got our well backed up. They were inspected. They were clean back tea. They were clean of nitrates. And so we have 2 of them that are fully operational again. What we need the $275,000 for is to go in and refurbish well number 3. He's done some work on it, but in order to get it really up and going, he's got to come back out and finish cleaning it. The screens are all, the screens have got buildup on them. Some of those pictures that you see there are sand. And the well number 1 had 26 yards of sand in the bottom of it that they had to pump out. The other picture that you see where there's where the well was, where the motor was, that was all the sand that had clogged it up. That burned up our 75 horsepower pump. That's what part of this money went to that we've already spent, was to replace that one. We were able to get number 2 functioning. It hasn't been functioning for years and years and years. It's not at a high level, but it's low. So now we've got to go back in and refurbish number 3. If we can't get the whole grant, then I'm going to have to go into the bottle closing and that extended time. If I can get the whole thing, then we can have him back up there, hopefully between the 4th of July and Labor Day. We made it through Memorial Day with just one well, buried. But nobody's able to water. And I don't know if you know how elderly people like to keep their lungs watered. Jesse here, he takes care of the cemetery, and they were watering the cemetery off irrigation water. But I'll bet you I had a half a dozen phone calls wanting to know why the dead people get water and I can't water my trees. True story. I put a padlock on my front gate because I have a dog that doesn't care for visitors, and people were coming to my door wanting to know when their water's going to be turned on. So we're out of the crisis right now, but I still have to get well number 3 up and running. Do you have any questions for me?
Mr. Chairman, I do.
Yes, sir.
Mayor, I'm suspicious of this picture. This looks like a quiche that I ate yesterday for breakfast.
That's what we got when we started going down there. And honestly, I thought the Whittison Well Services, I thought they were up there playing Candy Crush or something because they were taking so long. And so I physically went up there and took these pictures to see actually what they were doing. And this is what we were dealing with. And I don't know how long it's been since they were serviced. I couldn't find any records of it.
My next question, you just in your communication, you thought I did me. Don't you have any help?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just blame it on me because I'm the mayor and I'm the one that's got to come to me. I'm the one that takes the blame for it, so...
But you sure the money that you request as a supplement is going to cover all your bases and expenses of getting the well ready and go?
We believe so. We believe so.
Yeah, Whittison Well Services has provided the prediction of what it will take to get to the end of the project. So that's.
I make a motion to approve, Mr. Chairman, the supplemental request.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman Zanotti. Second.
Are you approving it for the full grant?
You were asking for.
No.
I would like the $275,000 in the full grant. If we take on more loan, that creates a bit of a hardship for the town based on what we did before. Plus, we have sewer systems and going in right now.
It'll be that same.
Yeah, we do have $121,000coming from loan at 1.5 in the request, but.
Is this a situation where we approved the supplemental request at the same terms as the previous? Is that why?
That's, well.
Yeah.
In the application, you don't know that they asked for maybe the supplemental.
You want to make an amendment?
But this loan was already closed, so it would have to be a new bond anyway. You can fund it anyway.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you like to make an amendment, Chairman?
The total grant, you said the grant, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. Motion made to fund the $275,000 out of grant entirely. Concurrence with the troublemakers over there. discussion. Seeing none, I'll call for a vote, please.
Who was the second? I apologize.
Jerry, we're going to go with. Yeah. The ornery caucus.
About had a brawl over.
This is for a $275,000 grant for the Manila Town supplemental funding for well improvements. Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
Commissioner Winfield.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next time I need quiche, I'll remember this picture.
Yeah. We'll make sure to stand at the gate and not try to come through the front door.
Mr. Chairman, make a motion to consider 8.1, Grand County MDA.
Compensation.
Thank you, sir. We have a motion by Chairman Venati to consider item 8.1 that's come in as a special consideration. Is there a second?
What was that?
I'll second.
We need a motion to consider 8.1.
I'll second.
I want to, if it's all right, just kind of turn it over to Commissioner Winfield, who will recuse from the vote. But if you wouldn't mind just giving us an update on the nature of this project, the request.
Sure. We had a visit from FAA. We were blessed with somebody to turn the airport in, so they dropped in and visited us. And the scope of their going through the procedures, our engine was found to be at the end of its life. And they recommended at that time that we get a new engine, and in the process of testing it, it then went down. It failed in the FAA test while they were there, and so which then brought out some emergency from Canyonlands Airport. We were able to reach out. We did have to put a NOTAM in place that there was no fire service for commercial air flights in and out of there, but it lasted about a week. And thankfully, the city of Provo stepped up and lent us one of their backup engines, and so our airport is back up and running, but we are currently without our own fire engine. And we've got a six-week window to try and get ahead before we lose the one that was generously loaned to us. And in the process of needing to get a new fire engine, it takes about 2 years lag time between when you order it and when you receive it. And so this will allow us to get this fire engine on order sooner than waiting for some FAA funding that will likely come in either 27 or 28. And at that time, then, it's the intentions of Grand County and the airport to repay this loan back in full with the funding that FAA will fund that engine. Of course, in this climate, we all know that funds can come and funds can go, and in the worst-case scenario, then we would pay the loan out through its entirety. But if it is funded as FAA likes to assure us it will be, we're looking at a couple of years before that money would come back in full.
Thank you, Commissioner. Yes.
Can we take a vote on the motion to hear?
We didn't vote on the motion to hear. Let's do that now, please.
Right, we already could.
Chairman Zanotti?
Aye.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yep.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
We can hear it now.
You want me to go through that again?
just do a question.
Glad to.
And do we have the money? Is the money available to give?
Was it factored into your spreadsheet? It was, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Fund it.
Okay.
Either fund, I don't know if it was funded by.
Thank you.
Well, it has an interest rate, so.
Yeah. I'll make the motion to approve this at $1,422,000 at 15 years at 1%.
Thank you.
Second.
Motion seconded. Discussion.
So I just had a few questions. So is this a new engine? Like, is this 1.4 by a new
Class B R fire engine?
Fire engine, right? It's a new fire engine. And do we feel like that's the best value for this area? Does it need a new one? Should we be looking at lower cost kind of refurbished engines? Like, I don't know how much use it gets, but do we feel like a new one is warranted in this situation? What's your thoughts on that?
The FAA definitely feels like a new one is warranted.
But when they say a new one, I think they just mean a serviceable one that's not at the end of its life, right? I don't know that they're necessarily requiring you to get an all new one. Anyway, I'm just questioning because I know it doesn't get a ton of use, right? It's there for kind of emergency situations at the airport. Would it be more feasible to get like maybe an older refurbished one rather than a $1.4 million fire engine that doesn't get a lot of use? I don't know.
It's that's certainly going to be looked at, but they still look at the age of whatever you do purchase, and that life, that shelf life will then end just much sooner than a new one will.
I see.
The current fire engine that just went down that we have is 16 years old now.
16, okay.
Yeah.
Chairman Zanotti.
Thank you. So what will you do with the one you bought it from the proposal?
We return it as soon as we can get ours repaired, and we're in the process of that right now.
Are they willing to sell that one to you? How old is that one?
That one won't meet the FAA requirements. It's only allowed as a backup.
Let's see. So after you purchase it, you're going to have some equipment upgrades on the particular furniture?
It'll be identical to ours and just be 15 years
younger.
Younger. There you go.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Thank you, Ms.
Hansen. I'm guessing the answer to this is no, but just thinking about, you know, the limited use, we don't have airplanes catch fire that often, hopefully, knock on something. You know, could this engine be deployed to help with other fire needs in the area occasionally, or does it have to stay at the airport? Okay.
Have in the past used Moab Valley Fire as our backup, but uh-huh. They do not have a phone system, which is required by FAA. So, mm-hmm. So we like to use them as a backup. They are not qualified or certified to come on the airport to put out a commercial fire.
Interesting.
General aviation, but not commercial.
Interesting.
Thanks. Could I have a question on the motion? So Bill mentioned that they would pay it back with FAA funds when those come through in a couple of years. I wonder if it wouldn't be appropriate to amend the motion to include a provision that requires them, if they get federal funding from the FAA, to pay the CIB back as soon as possible. Or
it's reasonable.
Yeah. I'll amend the motion to that.
I will second the amendment.
Double insurance. The FAA would never allow us to use that money for anything else anywhere.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. So if you get the money, you have to pay us back, right? I just didn't want there to be some sort of a shell. So, okay. That's fine.
Okay. Call for a vote, please.
This is to fund a $1,422,000 loan for 15 years at 1% for a Canyonland Sealed Airport fire truck, as described.
One more question before you call a vote, please. Why do you have to recuse yourself from voting?
I don't think that I have to. I'm just doing so out of respect.
I don't think you need to, Mr. Chairman. I don't think there's a reason. He doesn't get personal benefit from this purchase.
We discussed it with legal counsel, and you know, something like this where it seems the support's pretty unanimous is better for optics, but It's not required, no.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.